Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Running costs were higher last year, a year after, or, you know, months after they were told to cut their running costs. Mind-blowing stuff all the same, isn't it? I suppose it's all right once you know you're going to get 700 million or 730 million from the government over the next 3 years. Anyway, let's move back to what we're talking about. Mitigating circumstances in crimes. The other one, by the way, that really bothers me is when I see a very serious crime of, say, you know, and I'll just make up a random crime of a man who kills his own children, two children or something like that, right? And they go, and for all his life, he was perfectly fine. And maybe he cracks, I don't know, and kills his two children, does something bizarre. And he's brought to court and he claims insanity. And he's found not guilty by reason of insanity. Ireland is quite unique in that respect. Scotland, for example, it's guilty by reason of insanity. So, in other words, we know you did it. But at that particular moment in time, you were clinically insane. Now, I would argue that any particular moment in time that anybody kills anybody, particularly your own children, you would have to be insane. You would have to have lost your marbles at that particular moment in time. But the fact that you would get a sentence of not guilty by reason of insanity and then be sent off, you know, for assessment and at some point released in the future back into society, I personally believe is mind-blowing. Anyway, let me just go, if I can, first of all, to Cormac. Cormac, hi, how are you? Unfortunately, no sign of Cormac there again. We're just going to have to, unfortunately, Cormac's line seems to be dodgy. Do apologise, Cormac. I know you're dying to come on there. John, hi, how are you?
Not too bad there, no. How are you?
Good. John, mitigating circumstance, and I suppose we start talking about Hugh Edwards from the BBC. You know, a mitigating circumstance is a mental health problem. Is that a mitigating circumstance in your mind?
No. Mm-hmm. There's no mitigation for what he did. You know, like when you think about it, right, he sat there, he knowingly looked at those photos, knowingly shared those photos, and then all of a sudden he's been caught and, oh dear, I'm having a breakdown, look at me, poor me. That's a load of bull. You know, he had a breakdown because he got caught. He started to shit his pants because he knew he was in the same book as Jimmy Savile and Rolf Harris. You know, that's where he landed.
Stuart, what was the other guy? There was a few others. There was your man Stuart. Remember the man that made some knockout? Stuart Hall. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a few others.
You know?
Yeah.
And he was the one who was reporting on them and saying how bad it all was and all that. Mm-hmm. And he was doing it himself.
That's I never thought of it that way, actually, because he would have been there, you know, as a newsreader in around that time.
Yeah.
So he would have been reporting on all his colleagues within the BBC who had been up to this. And meanwhile, from what we know, we don't know how long he was doing this, you know, that he was looking at this kind of imagery himself.
Exactly. You know, and all of a sudden they're giving him some sympathy because, oh, you know, like, I might be suicidal or, you know, oh, I feel really bad and I've had a mental health issue. So what?
I'm assuming in jail, you know, I'm not discounting the fact that somebody could be obviously psychologically affected by being caught, let's be clear about it, or have a suicide risk. But I'm assuming in jail they have places, you know, isolation or whatever it is that they can look after people in those situations.
They've got suicide watch, you know, so they're checked on every 15 minutes. You know, they've got the mental health nurses in there to take care of them. You know, they get to see the psychiatrist every day if they want to. You know, they get seen by a mental health nurse every day, make sure that they're still okay and they're not going to be too bad. And if they're deemed to be going too bad, they're transferred to a mental health unit, for which they're then in a secure mental health unit and they're seen literally twice a day.
The guy, by the way, that was providing him, well, from what we know, the individual that was providing him with the images, a 19-year-old student who he had met on Instagram, he was brought to court last year as part of the investigation, or earlier this year, so to say, and he got a 12-month suspended sentence. Now, by the way, it's the same here, John. How many times have you heard of, you know, a man in court with 12,000 images of kids, you know what I mean, sent, you know, given a suspended sentence of 3 months or something like that? It's almost like we think that there's no victims in this.
Actually, I know of somebody personally that got caught. It was in one of the big sort of, remember, a few years ago they had this big paedophile ring that they were catching everybody from all over Europe and America. And
oh, this is when, yeah, when the FBI had got all the credit card numbers or something like that. Yeah.
Well, I know somebody who was caught up in all that.
Yeah, there was, well, the famous one here was the judge. There was a judge in the Irish courts, of course, was caught up in all that, if you remember at the time. And there was also the celebrity chef down in Cork there.
But like, you're looking at that, and you know, this particular person pleaded guilty, hands up, you know, all the information was taken, all the computers were taken. He was given a suspended sentence, told he wasn't allowed access to the internet, not allowed access the internet through mobile phone or laptop or tablet or anything like that. Yeah, right. Okay, thanks very much. I'll take me slap on the wrist and I'll go out. He then left the country. He was then found in another country where he had moved to. He'd be doing the exact same thing again. And in that country, he got a slap on the wrist and told not to do it again.
But these guys, you know, who are interested. I don't want to just pin it to guys. There are female paedophiles as well, by the way, because there are. Primarily it's men. But these guys who have this kind of interest in children, which to me is disturbing, they don't change. You know, it's like me asking you not to be attracted to women. Do you know what I mean? Or men, I don't know if you're straight or gay. But I mean...
No, you're always...
Okay, so it's like me asking you... You know what I mean? You can turn off a sexual attraction.
No. And like they, from a healthcare point of view, because I work in healthcare, I know that they are given the chemical castration, but yet that only works for as long as they're willing to take it. And there's 90% of the people who, once they're out of the system and they're out in the community, I don't want to take that again because it makes me feel all weird. You know? And that's it. Gone. You know, thanks very much. They disappear into the ether. They go, they travel to another country where they're not known. And all of a sudden they can get back into the system. You know, because it's very easy to travel from here to other countries.
Oh, sure. No, Gary Glitter did it, didn't he, for God's sake? He went to Cambodia, but he was caught again in Cambodia. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, like the passports aren't taken off them. You know, so they can go wherever the hell they want. You know?
Well, stay there for a second. Let me just go to Mick as well. Hang on. Mick, hi. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Paul? What's going on?
Good, Mick. John believes no such thing as mitigating a circumstance. You did the crime, do the time.
Exactly, 100%. It's very easy for these people to claim mental health when they're facing jail time or facing the public eye. Now, I'm not saying everybody hasn't got mental health issues. A lot of people do. But it's very easy to cry once. So give them the full maximum penalty that they deserve. End of story. Mm-hmm. No more... None of this cock and bull about, oh, this lad has this lad has not. You do the time, you do the crime, you do the time. It's plain and simple. The same crimes were going on 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, when nobody knew anything about mental health, and nobody knew about all these new things that are coming up in the market. And everyone, they got big jail time. I don't see why it should be different now, because it's 2024.
Because we're all nice nowadays.
No. It's really small marriage is naive, you know, and it's all gone too PC. You know, it's very easy for someone to cry wolf there and get off with a lighter sentence. And that's what I believe strongly, that's what that man's doing.
Well, his legal team said he was particularly vulnerable, and if he was given a custodial sentence both from attack and from others, and there's also a suicide risk. In other words, they were afraid of what might happen to him in jail, because we all know that anybody who does anything to children goes into jail doesn't really have a good time with other prisoners.
Well, they shouldn't have a good time. Give them the full punishment of the law, and if they get a slap in the prison, that's their own tough luck for going at the kids in the first place. You know, there's so much of this PC and looking after prisoners and, oh, this guy's going to get a slap or going to get a hiding in a prison. The hell with him. He shouldn't be, if he didn't want to go to prison, he shouldn't be doing the crimes in the first place.
But you also have to consider now, right, when they go into prison, they go into a segregated wing. So they're in with all their own kind. You know?
That's not a good thing either, is it? Sharing stories, you know what I mean? Sharing notes.
Well, exactly. You know, they're not in general population. They're not in with, you know, your man who went out and robbed the bank. You know? They're in with all their own kind because they have to be segregated, because if they're not segregated, they're going to get killed.
Yeah.
You know? And personally speaking,
Yeah, I mean, your man Ian Huntley's got a fair few hidings in jail. Do you remember Ian Huntley? The so
he did see half enough of them.
Yeah. I don't know if he's still alive or not. I know he's got a fair few hidings in jail, but I don't know whether he's still alive. I mean, I'm sure the parents of those children wish he wasn't. You know what I mean?
He is. Sadly, he is still alive in there. But, like, the one who was helping him out, the one Maxine, she's out.
Maxine Carr, well, she only got 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's been given a nominee.
New identification, yeah. But she was ousted there about 3 years ago by one of the newspapers, wasn't she? So they've given her another identification now, I believe.
Exactly.
But here's the sad bit, right? And I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here. But Maxine Carr got out of jail 4 years after that. She was given a new identity, the whole lot. She could have gone off and met somebody and never told them who she was. Yeah. Now, mind you, they'd want to be stupid, Ned, never to have seen her picture in the paper. But I mean, but in saying that, you know, she could go to a different country, as you rightly said, you know, and change her identification and nobody would ever know who she was.
Exactly.
But that's wrong. You know, that's wrong.
Well, it is, yeah.
But sadly, that's the case that we have. If you commit a serious enough crime like paedophilia or, you know, abusing children or anything like that, your passport could be surrendered.
Yeah, so you can never be a risk to another country, yeah.
You should not be allowed to have a passport. It should be taken away from you, and that should be the end of that. You're left in this country, and then it's down to you to make sure you get hidden away, that you don't get found out by anybody else. Because I can tell you now, there's a lot of people I know who, if they were to find out that somebody was a paedophile in their area, that person would not see tomorrow.
Mick, just if I could ask you, just leaving aside, you know, the paedophiles and the sexual abuse, if somebody was found guilty, say, of murder, and, you know, the barrister said, Your Honour, at the time he was on drugs, he was addicted to drugs, he doesn't even remember the night in question when he killed his girlfriend and smacked her over the head with a hammer or whatever, I don't know. Do you believe that person, that there should be a mitigating circumstance because he was a drug addict, but now he's got clean? Do you believe that should be a mitigating circumstance to reduce the sentence?
No.
Absolutely no way. Because number one, nobody held him down to take the drugs in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That's another excuse. Absolutely no way. If you do the crime, you do the time. Like, we'll say Billy for instance. We'll just say Billy as a name. Billy's off his head on cocaine. And he goes out there and he robs an old lady there. And sure, it's very easy for him to say in court the next day, "Jeez, I don't remember that, Your Honour. I'm very, very sorry. But I have mental health issues because of the cocaine." Nobody held that Billy down and stuffed the cocaine up his nose. He took it on his own free will. You know, I'm a firm believer if people, anyone that's say 10, 11, 12 years of age, they know right from wrong. And if they do crime, they pay. If they act the maggot out of the street and they do the crime, they have to do the time for whatever punishment deems fit. Mm-hmm. And as going back there, that murderer that you were just again, make up story there, murder. I put that lad in the darkest hole that could be found and leave him in it and just feed him. I don't bother with all this crap of social workers going in and free colleges and all that jazz. What the name of God would you be spending money on a scum like that? That goes out and kills an old woman there, say, for 30 euros for a bit of cocaine. He doesn't give. Why would you waste the money on the old thing guy? Again, as I said earlier, he does the crime, he pays, he does something like that, puts him into a hole, and lets him go. Everything's too PC about all these rights for prisoners. They wouldn't be in the prison if they were anyway right in the head and not doing the crime in the first place.
All right, well, hang on. Let me just go to Ian as well. Ian, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Noel?
How you doing? Ian, people are quite angry, and I can understand why. You know what I mean? Because these kind of cases really, yeah, I suppose they really upset people because we're talking about children. You know?
Yeah, well, my point coming on was the cover-up of BBC there with Jimmy Savile and Ralph Harris and that was not the first time to do it. And then when you had one of your callers on there saying about taking the laptops out, the likes of RTE and BBC and going through them, and I guarantee you would, you'd actually find the same. Now, some amount of information in all the the electronic equipment within them companies. But I have actually spent time in jail, and I have seen the sex offenders and the way that they are actually treated. So I worked in the kitchen, so you'd be going over and you'd be seeing them on the wings. Now they are, as the other caller was saying, they're segregated, and they have their own wing. But when you go over there, they're not classed as being criminals, they're classed as being sick.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're going over, they have, like, you know, they're the best of things, they're the best of everything, all, and like, they've got all the calm and colours and the paints and all the areas and all, they're all painted up different to keep them calm, and all the artwork and all on the walls, things that you don't see in the normal jail, because they're not criminal insane. They don't, when they're going out, they're not really handcuffed, they wouldn't have a security detail on them, like a normal a shoplifter would.
Where are where generally the sex offenders in Ireland go? Where is it? Armour Hill? Where do they normally go?
You used to go to Weefield, you Weefield. Know, and then it was they were moved out. So you had Armour Hill, and then they have the remand wing up in Clover Hill. There would be where that they'd be kept. But the main now they have their own big prison within the walls of the Midlands Prison down at Portlaoise.
Right. Okay.
So they've got two big wings down there, and they've got they've got showers in the cells. They have the big flat screen TVs. They have everything that's not in the general population.
I think I seen a picture actually in the paper or online one day of one of the rooms, the cells. And I actually, my own mistake, I thought it was a room to let on Daft or something, because that's what it looked like. It looked nice.
Yes, no, they have the comfort. They get the comfort. The norms, like, I remember when I went in, my very first time when I was a kid, I went in and I was on a committal wing. And I asked for, at the time, there was no kettles or anything like that. So you used to rely on a flask. And I asked for a flask off the nun. And she told me, oh, we don't do them. We don't give them out. You have to buy them in the shop, right? Now, a man was after coming in on the bus with me. And he was in, I read it in the paper the next day, he was in for a horrible crime against a woman, a Down syndrome girl in his town down the country. Now, I mean, what I was at the reading, it was a horrible crime. And he was on the bus with me. Now, he was shipped out a couple of days later. But the nun came straight to him the next day with a pack. He got a kettle. He got a packet of cigarettes. He got tea bags. He got biscuits. He got everything. Whereas I got nothing. Nothing of a whole whatsoever. He was an old man. He was a church-going man. And he was brought in and he got the best of treatment.
Even though he'd sexually abused somebody. Yeah.
It was a horrible crime that was after being reported on that woman. On a Down syndrome woman. Him and another man. They were in the town and they had done horrible things to that girl. Sex offenders will never change. They will never, ever...
Will they have... I mean, when it comes to crimes, it's the highest reoffense rate is sex offenders, right, particularly paedophiles. Yeah.
You know, I'm attracted to a woman. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what it is. Their attraction is the kids. And you're never going to stop me from being attracted to a woman. You know what I mean? So they're not going to be... You're not going to be able to stop them being attracted to kids. Do you know what I mean? It's the same with a sex, with a rapist. He's attracted to the power. You know what I mean? He wants that power over a woman, and he's not going to reoffend on that again. And then you have the justice system in this country, and they're just letting them walk. You have one judge in particular in the country, Martin Nolan, and he's letting them walk.
I know Martin Nolan has been criticised on numerous occasions in relation to, you know, people who have been brought before him for indecent images. But to be fair, that's only because they're the cases that happen to be in the paper. There's a lot of other judges that hear cases similar to that and also would give suspended sentences. So I think sometimes we can be a little bit unfair in relation to that particular question that's asked all the time.
If you're actually to go in and look at the statistics of Martin Nolan and on the cases...
Well, I don't want to get into, for obvious reasons, I can't get into all the particular cases that Martin Nolan has overseen. And I can only say that I'm sure on some occasions he's been fair. On other cases, I don't know. I don't know his full history, and I don't have a record of all his cases here before me. But in relation to Hugh Edwards, right? Okay, in relation to Hugh Edwards. So he got a 6-month suspended sentence. You believe that there's more to this. This is more about the BBC. Now, the BBC were told about this in November when special officers from, I suppose, I'm assuming MI5 or whoever was investigating it in the UK, came to the BBC, to obviously to ask his producers questions while they're investigating it, but said not to say anything to him because they were investigating it, you know, behind his back, obviously, at the time. And they BBC, you know, kept him on, not only kept him on, but gave him a rise.
Yeah. And what would you, if I was to give you the theory of this now, that Gil Edwards, right, so he's a really big high-profile person within the BBC, right? Mm-hmm. A really high-profile.
Yeah. Newsreader, yeah.
And he's involved in a paedophile ring, right, so they're sharing images, right? So just let's say, how many judges would you say would be in that paedophile ring that the images are being shared on? And would that be the reason why he was given his, like, does he have information? Does he have a little black book with a load of judges' names in it to state that, like, well, you bought them at me, you this, you that, you give me a suspended sentence?
I have no doubt, now I don't know about Hugh Edwards' case, but I have no doubt that is the case, because like anything else, you know, this is not a class thing. There's paedophiles in all, but there's probably guards, judges. Well, sure, didn't we find out ourselves here in Ireland with that operation many years ago, Operation Amethyst, I think it was called at the time, you know, when we found out that one of our own judges was paying with his own credit card for child pornography. Remember that particular case?
Yeah, man down in Galway, yeah.
And yeah, the chef in Cork as well. Okay, I don't want to go and start naming people at the moment because these are cases a long, long time ago. But the point is, you know, as I said, there's no class involved in this. You know, it's all walks of life.
Yeah, it's all, like,
so there's no doubt that if somebody is, you know, and these people obviously all know each other because they're sharing images. You're right. It's obviously a ring. They share images. In this particular case, there was one other person involved, was a 19-year-old student who got a 12-month suspended sentence for his part in this, supplying them to Hugh Edwards. So, you know, and God knows how many other people were being supplied by that individual too, by the way. We don't know.
And that's the thing. Like, he's a young man. He's saying, you know what I mean? Well, look, you either let me go or else I'm opening up a can of worms. And that's why, like, do you reckon that if a person who's not known in society that was to go up with that amount of images would actually walk out at court? I don't think so. It's because of the power and the money.
By your own admission, Ian, we've had numerous cases in this country where people have walked out with 5 and 6 month sentences, suspended sentences.
No, I deal with you, but what I'm trying to focus on the amount of images that he was.
I just don't think we take the crime seriously. I don't believe we take the crime seriously enough.
No, we don't, and it's not. It's a victimless crime. They say it is.
Well, it's not. It's not. No, all those children that were in those photographs, those 7 to 15 year olds that were in his photographs. You know, and some of them in sexual positions or whatever it was. You know, they're all real children somewhere in the world.
And their life is ruined. And like, you know, and then you say, like, you know, can you use mitigating factors? So if that child grows up and he commits some sort of a crime and he's after being all over the internet and he's being abused, can he not use that as a mitigating factor against the crime that he's after being he's accused of in the future to come if he was ever to get involved in it?
Well, stay there for a second, because I want to bring Steve in as well. Steve, hi, how are you?
Well, Niall, there's a whiff of Jeffrey Epstein off of all of this, isn't there?
In what sense?
Well, just like all cover up and people.
Oh, yeah, look, we've seen what happened to the BBC going back 10 years ago, and the amount of individuals absolutely that were involved in all that carry on.
Well, look, what I wanted to come on and say was it was actually not the guy that's on there last, the two guys that were before them, the two Holy Joes, we're saying send everybody to prison and sentence them to death. What I want to say is we're focusing way too much on this Hugh guy, you know, and that type of crime. Outside of that type of crime, there is many, many different crimes that are committed on a daily basis where mitigating circumstances have to be taken into consideration. You know, for an example, if you are a drug addict and you do break into a house and steal money out of a drawer. You would have never done that if you weren't a drug addict. Now, I get it, you know, that it's your own fault that you've taken the drugs and you've put yourself into that situation. You know, but most people, the vast majority of people who become drug addicts, don't intend to become drug addicts and breaking into people's houses. And a lot of them have come from shitty lives. Oh, that's fine. You can disagree with me. You can disagree with me all you want. Just let me finish my point.
I'll let you respond in a second, Mick. Go ahead. Finish your point, Steve.
So, look, I can speak from experience that there was mitigating circumstances surrounding one of the reasons. You all know that I broke into a house and I ended up going to prison
many years ago.
For assaulting a woman who was in her own home. Now, I pushed the woman. I didn't beat her up. I just pushed her out of my way, and that was considered assault. But there were mitigating circumstances around that, hence the reason why I got such
So give me the mitigating. What was the mitigating circumstance? You had a bad upbringing, Steve. That's what you told us at the time.
Well, no. I told you guys this story many years ago, but nobody seems to ever remember the story. This woman used to be my social worker, and she put me into a very dangerous, shitty situation where I had reported to her something that had happened to me, and she just gave me back to the custody of my mother and father, where things got a hell of a lot worse. And I decided to, you know, get my revenge on this woman and break into her home and scare the bejesus out of her. So now, as much as you guys can turn around and say to me, Steve, you're still a shitty person for doing what you're doing. Absolutely, I get that. You know, but I was young, vulnerable, stupid, and I did have an excuse for doing what I'd done. So, like, that is a mitigating circumstance, is it not?
So, well, Mick, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, no, Steve, your own personal story there, right? To be honest with you, I don't know the full ins and outs of that, right? But just going back to what you're saying there about the drugs. A lad on coke there breaking into a house, your house, my house. I would have absolutely no sympathy for them whatsoever. And I'm talking from my own personal experience, right? And I'm not going to go into detail. But I guarantee I would have absolutely no sympathy, no mitigating circumstances. Nobody held, well, just take me for example, just use me as an example. Nobody held me down to put coke up my nose or a needle in my ass in order for me to become addicted and go break into Steve's house or Niall's house or someone else's house.
And
batter the head off you to get 20 quid.
Yeah.
No excuse.
I get that. Well, no, hold on. It's easy for you, lad. It's very easy for you to turn around and say, there's no excuse. Walk a mile in someone else's shoes before you say that. Look, I can understand that you have your personal love. You can have your personal opinion on this as much as you want. Thank Jesus, you know, you're not a judge. But the judge has no choice but to take mitigating circumstances into consideration, because that's what the law does.
Okay, well then, if we're talking about crime and mitigating circumstance, and let's just accept what you're saying, right? A crime is a crime. Some crimes are more heinous than others. We accept that, you know, murder, paedophilia, obviously raping, more serious crimes. So should a mitigating circumstance be taken into all crimes? So go back to Hugh Edwards again. So his barrister claims that he had a mental health condition. He's particularly vulnerable. And a suicide risk, so you can't send him to jail. Sorry. Is that acceptable?
Niall. Look, justice is blind, and it should be dished out that way. So all cases have mitigating circumstances, and it should be taken into consideration. Now, a lot of it is bollocksology. You know, turning around and saying, oh, I'm suicidal. Yeah, of course he is, because he can't...
Because he's just been caught, and he's been publicly humiliated and lost his job. Well, yeah.
It's up to the judge to say whether that's bollocksology or not. And if the judge feels that it's not, and that's what he says, well, that's what the law says. Unfortunately, you know, that's the law. But, I mean, most judges will see straight through that crap. You know, I've been...
Well, I don't agree with you, because I see so many judges given lenient sentences for things like this, particularly crimes like this.
Look, take it from experience, Niall. You know, for me, whatever, petty crime... stuff that I was up in front of judges for, they never took pity on me, and I always played that card. Oh, you know, it came from a bad upbringing, blah 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 blah. The judge didn't give a shite. He just looked at me, and it was like bingo numbers to them, you know. So,
I'm sure they're hearing it all day. You know what I mean? I'm sure, Your Honor, he comes from a bad upbringing, but Your Honor, he's just got himself a job now. Please don't send him to jail. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And the judges can see through that crap, but they do have. Everybody has the right to mitigate them circumstances under the law. They have the right to that.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to Martin before I finish this up. What time is it? Yeah, okay. We'll go to Martin quickly before I finish this up. Go ahead, Martin.
Okay, Niall, I'll be as succinct as I possibly can. First off, this term, mitigating circumstances, is one of the things. It's like the term antisocial behaviour when vandalism is being done. Now, I'm not equating one with the other. I'm talking about the
generalization of it, yeah. Yeah.
The principle. The law is supposed to be based on language and logic and definition. Now, if you'll bear with me, Niall, because I gave this, this has always wound me up, but I gave this some consideration before sending in the text. And if you can bear with me, I'm just going to reread.
Yeah, the text, if you could.
Text I sent you, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Niall, as far as I know, the definition of mitigation, and I didn't check a dictionary, but I think I'm pretty right on this, would be something like the action or circumstances of reducing or lowering the severity or painfulness of an action or event. How the hell can that ever be how the hell can there ever be mitigation of the harm and damage done to children by any sexual abuse or abuser? It's just another legal twisting of logic and language into meaningless gobbledygook. Can anyone give a reasonable rebuttal to these facts? I don't believe they can. There is no mitigation. The harm and damage to the victim will never be reduced by the events in the abuser's past or their mental state. Now, that's a simple statement of fact. There's no mitigation. There's no mitigating circumstances. The harm and the damage done is not mitigated by the abuser's past or the circumstances that they went through. So this term mitigation, I hate it. It's a twisting of logic.
Well, you're mitigating the harm to the perpetrator, not the victim.
Yes, you're mitigating the harm to the perpetrator. But the whole thing is, it's a, pardon me, coming in here.
Yeah.
It's okay.
The whole thing is,
there's supposed to be mitigation. You know, there's mitigating circumstances.
Yeah.
It doesn't mitigate the circumstances or the consequence for the victim. And it's the victim here, the state, are supposed to be taking an action to protect and to look after, not just the original victim, but all potential victims. This is nonsense. Well, I mean, Steve says there were mitigating circumstances in what happened to him. How does his circumstance mitigate against the harm or damage that he did to someone who he was involved with, where I accept what he says, he only pushed the woman, but it's still an assault.
But he was in her home there's as no well. Mitigation. He was also trespassing in her home, yeah. Yeah.
There's no mitigation there. No matter what he says, there's no mitigation. The damage to that woman was never going to be mitigated by his previous experiences in life.
Okay, well, hang on. Let's see if he responds to that.
Okay, well, firstly, Martin, if we had more time, I'd go into a longer conversation of the details and why I done what I done, and you probably understand a lot more. But what I would say...
No, Steve, I'm not arguing against what you did, what you did.
Okay, let me finish, Martin, about the logic
of mitigation.
I understand that. So let me finish. So what I will say about... you need to take your meds. Here's your phone. You need to take your meds.
No. No, I won't.
Is that a reminder on your phone, Martin, for you to do something? No,
so, it's not important. I'll get it in a few minutes.
When you take this guy, the news reporter, into consideration, you know, that what happened to any of the children in them photographs or videos wasn't perpetrated by that man. The only involvement that he had in that crime was buying the material out of it.
No, I disagree. I disagree.
No.
Hang on. Before you go any further, Steve, and I do want to interject in that point, right? I completely disagree.
Let me finish what I want to say before you interrupt me.
Oh, okay. Well, go on. I'll let you finish, but I do want to interject into that point. But go on.
That's fine. You can do that when I'm finished. That man's only involvement in that crime is buying the photographs afterwards. He is not the perpetrator of the actual crime. So the child who was involved in that deserves justice for whoever it was that perpetrated on them, not the person who bought the photographs.
That's like arguing that the receiver of stolen goods is not responsible for the theft that took place in the first place. If there were no receivers...
There'd be no stolen goods. In other words, if there was no Hugh Edwards is, you know, buying these or seeking out these photographs or willing to pay money for them, there would be nobody abusing children to take these photographs. So they encourage the crime, Steve. It's more than just purchasing the goods. They're actually encouraging the crime.
Of course, Niall, I understand that, but they're not the one that
perpetrated
it doesn't matter. Let me finish the sentence. The sexual assault on the child. That's my point. They didn't perpetrate the sexual assault. Yes, they were involved in the crime after the fact. I get that. But the justice for that child isn't going to be got from some news reporter who bought a couple of photographs. The justice is going to be got from the bastard who raped the child.
I absolutely agree. I would much prefer to get the bastard, as you said, who raped the child or put those children in a vulnerable position to take photographs for the purpose of Hugh Edwards. But if there wasn't individuals like Hugh Edwards, there would be no need for these individuals to be doing this because there would be no profit in it for them.
100%. 100%, I totally agree, Niall. I totally agree with you.
Sorry, Martin. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Can I give... Now, this is a hypothetical example of real mitigating circumstances. Let's say there's two guys out, they have a few drinks, and they get into a row. And one of them strikes the other and causes him to hit the ground, and he hits his head, and he has a brain hemorrhage. Now, the guy who hit him has a choice. He can walk away and leave him there, or he can pick him up, call an ambulance, stick him in his car, rush to a hospital, whatever else. That is mitigation. The perpetrator is mitigating against the real harm that could be done. They're doing their best to undo what has been done. But in the case of a child who has been sexually abused, or a woman, or a man, or whoever, or a murder, or whatever else, there is no mitigation. Claiming, oh, well, I had a bad life, or things went wrong for me, or I wasn't in the right mental state, that does not mitigate against what was done. If you want to change the law and change the terminology to say extraordinary circumstances beforehand or whatever else, I still don't think it's right, but I could live with it. But when we have this term being thrown around by, you know, bleeding heart liberals, in my opinion, mitigating circumstances, where is the mitigation? It doesn't mitigate against the harm that's been done. The harm is done, and it's not going to be undone. It's not going to be lightened by the fact
that... Absolutely, but Martin, you're just getting annoyed. You're getting annoyed at the words. That's where you're getting annoyed.
I'm not getting annoyed at the words. I'm getting annoyed at the way the words are applied and the result of using those words.
Yeah, I understand.
That's what I get annoyed about.
But here's the thing, Martin. You understand where I'm coming from, yes?
I understand where you're coming from, but I disagree with you that it's the same thing. It's not.
Okay. Well. Whatever. What phrase would you like me to use instead of mitigation?
What phrase? Guilty, Your Honor.
So should a prisoner, not a prisoner, should somebody who is accused of offending and committing a crime, should it be taken into consideration the circumstances surrounding that crime for the amount of time that they get in prison or the charge or the conviction?
Should the circumstances be in certain circumstances, yes, of course. Absolutely.
And that's what I'm arguing.
I'm just using the word mitigation. Pardon?
That's what I'm arguing. I'm just using the word mitigation because that's the one that's being bandied about and thrown around.
But you see,
I know where you're going to go with that, Martin, again. We're going to go back around in a circle that the word mitigation, you believe, is not the appropriate word to be used because it doesn't mitigate the damage that's done to the victim. Lads, unfortunately, I've run out of time. Steve and Martin, I appreciate both of you coming on the air. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Very interesting conversation. I think the overwhelming majority of people who text in, Dave sent in a long text there about a particular case where a man had got... an egg-sized tumour on his brain, which caused him to act, I suppose, differently to the way he should normally. I suppose, Dave, I'm not going to ask Martin and Steve because they're gone now, but maybe that could be a mitigating circumstance if it was proven that that was the cause of him acting like that. Anyway, I would imagine so. I wanted to move on after the break. 1 in 5 workers reported a decline in their well-being. Would a 4-day working week make you happier? In recent years, there has been a particular shift, particularly to our work patterns during COVID, and the idea of a 4-day work week and a greater work-life balance has been kind of floated by workers as an attempt to create a better working environment. But what do you think? Would you welcome the idea? If you're a business person in the private sector, you probably wouldn't. But would you, because it costs you more, would you welcome the idea of a 4-day working week? Do you think it would make you happier in work if you only had to work 4 days but got paid the same amount of money as you're getting at the moment if you're working full-time, obviously? It doesn't apply to people working part-time. But would you be happier at a 4-day working week? And do you think it's possible? Now, I want you to be practical about it because obviously it's going to cost employers money. So how are we going to balance that out? How is the employer, who are already struggling, particularly small businesses, how will they fix this one? The government would have to be involved in it, obviously. So the question is, Would you support the idea of a four-day working week? Guarantee we get people on who are in the construction industry saying, absolutely not, Niall.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.